Well, today we're continuing our sermon series called Happier, and because, of course, in 2020, we all want to be happier, but we know we're not going to be happy if we continue to look for our happiness and our stuff and our income and our relationships. We're not going to be able to be happy there, but we know that God is happy and that God is offering us happiness and invites us to live a happier life. And so if you've missed any of these messages over the last couple weeks, then you can go and check those out online, go to our website and go to worship, and you can find those there. Because we've looked at that you are happier when you give, that you're happier when you encourage others, that you're happier when you don't sweat the small stuff, that you're happier when you celebrate others, and that next week we're going to look at that you're happier when you roll up your sleeves as we look at the connection between happiness and finding a purpose. And so today we're going to look at this, that you are happier when you're grateful. So it's not just something we do in November, but it's a lifestyle. It's something we always put into practice. So let's check this out in Philippians, as we've been in Philippians chapter 2 the last couple weeks. We're going to look at verse 14 through 18. It says this: "Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you, so that you too should be glad and rejoice with me." Well, before there was Reddit, there was Dear Abby. And I know many of you remember Dear Abby. And so this was posted in a Dear Abby column. And it says this: "Happiness is knowing that your parents won't almost kill you if you come home late. Happiness is having your own bedroom. Happiness is having parents that trust you. Happiness is getting the telephone call that you've been praying for. Happiness is knowing that you're as well-dressed as anybody. Happiness is something I don't have. Signed, 15 and unhappy." Well, then there was this response that was printed a couple days later by a 13-year-old. It says, "Happiness is being able to walk. Happiness is being able to talk. Happiness is being able to see. Happiness is being able to hear. Unhappiness," I love the shade, by the way, "unhappiness is reading a letter from a 15-year-old girl who can do all of these things and still says she isn't happy. I can see, I can talk, I can hear, but I can't walk. Signed, 13 and happy." Two different pictures of happiness. One picture says, "I will be happy if," and you can fill in the blank, whatever "if" might be. "If this happens, then I will be happy." The other picture of happiness says, "I am happy because," and it looks for reasons to be happy. Two different pictures of happiness. And that's why I see this conversation in this letter to the Philippians, as we've looked the past couple weeks, as we've slowed down a bit in this letter to Philippians, because Philippians is a letter from a person named Paul who went and was so compelled by the love of Jesus that he would go to places and he would start churches and he would gather people and they would come to faith. And once they got going and they began to worship, then he would go and he would start another church. And now he finds himself in prison for his faith. As you caught at the end of the scripture we were talking about, he says, "If this is the end for me, if I'm going to be poured out as a drink offering, if this is the time when I'm finally put to death, I want you to know I did not run this in vain, because I want you to know of all the blessings that God has given you." And so he writes to them, a church made up of people of different generations, different backgrounds, different incomes, different lives. And he says, "Remember the great blessings of God." And what's so amazing about Philippians, and if you haven't got a chance to read it over the last couple weeks and you're looking to go a little deeper, then I encourage you to read this, because Philippians is known as the most joyous letter that we have from Paul. Because Paul's not writing to them to address any problems necessarily. In fact, he's writing to them to say, "Thank you for supporting me." And so it's full of conversations, advice around finding joy and being thankful in all situations. And so he writes to them and he says, "I want you to know this, do everything," in verse 14, "do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you can become blameless and pure, And then he begins to quote this, "Children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation." And he's quoting Deuteronomy 32:5. Now, the book of Deuteronomy is Moses' really last words to the people of Israel. That as Moses has led them throughout the wilderness over, now it's been 40 years, and a new generation has come up, and they're getting ready to enter into the promised land. Deuteronomy records these last words of Moses. And this particular passage that Paul is quoting to them is this last bit right towards the end. So it's the last words of the last words. But in some Bibles and in mine, it says that this is a song of Moses. This is the last bit of a song that he's singing over them. Because he's wanting to remind them of this. You're getting ready to enter into this promised land. This thing that you've been waiting for generations. This thing that you've been hoping that God would give to you for generations upon generations now. And you're getting ready to enter into it. This land of milk and honey. Everything that you've ever desired and want. And we can just fill in that blank there. Everything that you are looking to finally fulfill you and make you happy. You're getting ready to receive all of that. But do not forget the one who has led you through the wilderness, who has led you to this place, who's providing this land and these opportunities for you. Do not forget the God who has led you to this point. Do not forget. Because if you do, then you'll begin to grumble, argue, and complain. And you'll begin to no longer see it as a blessing. But you'll begin to see those things if then those things will then make you happy. He says, don't take your eyes off the one who truly does make you happy. But spoiler alert for like the entire Old Testament, they do take their eyes off God. They do grumble and they do complain. And so Paul is saying, remember this and don't repeat it. Remember all the great things that God has provided for you. Remember all that God is doing among you right now. Remember all the joy and happiness that you have. Don't forget. Don't forget so that you will shine like stars among all those that are around you. Because if you're truly happy and truly grateful, that's what you will look like. You will shine like stars around them. So he says, don't succumb to the ways that we have in the past, where we end up grumbling and complaining. You see, what Moses knew and what Paul knew is that you and I, well, we have hearts that tend to find ourselves in this place where we're either grateful or we're complainers. Can you relate to that? That there are times where we're either grateful or we're times where we just get in these cycles of complaining. And I know we know people like this, right? We know when we're around people who are either very grateful or people who very much complain. But here's the thing, and we know this. Complaining actually robs us of our happiness. If we were to think about anything that would actually be a thief of our happiness, it really is complaints. Because imagine this, just think of a time in which you really were complaining. It's okay, go ahead and do it. You can think of a time, oh yeah, it was a bad time, right? It wasn't good. Were you happy when you were complaining? When you were like, they said this, this was happening, all this was, it was one of those days. Do you find yourself really happy when you're in those places? Because here's what we know. We think that being unhappy leads to complaining, but it's really complaining leads to unhappiness. When we find ourselves in this place of complaining, it's not going to lead us out of complaining. It leads us deeper and deeper into unhappiness. And not only does it make us more unhappy, but it makes those that hear our complaining unhappy too. It's this vicious spiral that we get drug into, and then we drag everyone else that hears us into our unhappiness spiral. So how do we get caught there? Why does this happen? Well, neurologists tells us that there's this part about being human called the hedonic adaption. that there's this part of who we are that adapts to our circumstances, that it adapts to the positive and the negative stuff that's in our lives, particularly our emotional response to them. So that's why when we find ourselves in this happy place or something makes us happy, that over time it no longer makes us happy anymore. That's why Apple keeps making new iPhones, okay? I know if you're like me, you probably have bought a phone. You don't use all the features, but as soon as you hear about the new one, you think, oh, I've got to have it. Because this one I had, it's just a phone now. I got to have the new one. It's got all these great features. It's so awesome. It's so cool. And then maybe you watch the, you know, the Apple Talks and all this. And I mean, this is something we do in my house. It's so great. You know, I'm like, they're like, what are you watching? I'm like, I have to see all the new features. And then I forget how to use them, but I know I have to have it, right? But maybe the phone's not it for you. Maybe it's a new car, it's a new clothes, it's the new shoes, whatever the new thing is. That's why we keep buying new things. But not only that, and this will be good news for you if you've given up on your New Year's resolutions already, is that this works also even in dieting. And even we find this when we get that toned body that we've always wanted, that over time it doesn't make us happy anymore. And we've got to keep pressing and keep going. We find this if we land the dream job, that pretty soon it looks like all the other jobs that we've always had, or maybe we reach this level of salary and we just think, well, maybe if I just made a little bit more. In fact, in some studies that they find that those who make $20,000 a year, that they've reported that if they made $50,000 a year, that they would really be satisfied. And they found those who make $50,000 a year that they'd say if they really make $100,000 a year, they would really be satisfied. And those who make $100,000 a year, they found that if they made $250,000 a year, then they would really be satisfied. And they were able to quantify this to this amount, that for every dollar that you and I make, that we wish that we would make $1.40 more. That's a salary that would then make us really happy. It's a hedonic adaptation that we have, that we get used to all the good things in our life and all the negative. It's a really helpful part of being human. But it's also the reason why we lose happiness when we try to find it in these things that are in our life. In fact, Dan Gilbert, who authored the book Stumbling on Happiness, and it has a great TED Talk on happiness if you want to check that out, says this: wonderful things are especially wonderful the first time they happen, but their wonderfulness wanes with repetition. It's no wonder we find ourselves unhappy so often. Because so often we look for happiness in things that were not designed to bring us happiness long term. In fact, this has led some to consider that the original sin in our scripture isn't pride, but it really is ingratitude. Then when we get to the core of pride, it really is all about ingratitude. Then we think about this beginning story in Genesis 2 and 3, the story of God creating the world and creating humanity and everything that's involved in that story. It tells us that God created a garden, right? A garden full of incredible abundance. And that God places the first people there and says, you can eat from any tree in the garden. Everything is yours, except for this one tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But see, this is also a story of our hearts. Because what tree do we always think of? A whole garden full of abundance. Full of God's blessing. Full of God's provision. And God says, you can have anything except for this one thing. And so often that's all that we can think about. That's ingratitude. And at its very core, ingratitude is disappointment with God. It says, God, all I can see is the ways in which you haven't provided. All the ways in which I don't have this. And all the ways in which, God, you're not helping me find or achieve lasting happiness. So how do we break free from that spiral? That spiral of complaining, grumbling, arguing, and really find true gratitude. Because I believe that gratitude helps us to see everything in a new way. That we, you and I, live with a posture and a practice of gratitude, that we get to see the grace of God in new and wonderful ways, that God's grace truly becomes new each day. That we get to really live, well, in contrast to our hedonic adaption, we get to overcome it because we get to see the newness that God is providing all around us through gratitude. In fact, the Greek words for grace, charos, and the root word for joy, chara, is the same root word. So the same word for grace is that same word for joy. And grace and joy are so interconnected that the great theologian Karl Barth had this observation. He says, to be joyful is to expect that life will reveal itself as God's gift of grace. To be joyful means to look out for opportunities of gratitude. Because you see, grace is God's great gift to us. But grace is not a one-time thing, but it's something that God is pouring out to us before we even know it, before we're even asking for it. And that each day we get to experience God's grace. We get to experience God's grace in new and wonderful ways, ways that we've never thought, conceived, or perceived before. And that's the life that God invites us to, that God says, come and follow me. Come and join me. And see all that I've done and all that I'm doing and all that I will do. And I believe that's where happiness is found. And for us to do that, I believe for us it's to find gratitude in the little things. In a study that was published in 2005, there was a study around a group of undergrad students who were asked to go in one day a week to record five things that they were grateful for. And over the course of the study, that they found that these graduate students were more grateful and had a higher sense of well-being than those who did not participate in the study. It was simply going and writing down a few things that they were grateful for. In fact, even this week, I was listening to one of my favorite podcasts, and the host was interviewing a guest, and they both had found that they had picked up a practice starting in November, but they decided to go ahead and continue it, that as they would go to bed each night, that they would take a time and write down five things that they were grateful for that day. And so inspired by that, I'm going to pick up that practice. Because I believe for us to really be grateful and to live with gratitude, that it's something about just finding those little things that really will change what we see each day. In fact, I believe that's what Paul was talking about in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, where he says, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will, for you belong in Christ Jesus. Now, I know throughout here at Table of Grace that we have so many stories of people who have challenges in their marriages, challenges in their families, challenges with health. But you know what I hear so often is, I'm so thankful for God and what God is doing in my life. I'm so thankful to know that I have a church family that surrounds me and supports me. I'm so thankful. I hear this so often. And it always inspires me to see that kind of faith when people are dealing in challenges. But that's the way that we find thankfulness in all circumstances, no matter what they are. Because gratitude reminds us to turn away from anything that leads us away from seeing the incredible things that God is doing in our lives and in the world and all around us, and turn towards these signs that we see of God's love and faithfulness to us and to others. In fact, I want to end with this quote by C.S. Lewis, because I think he so captures what it is to, for us to pick up this practice of finding gratitude in the little things, because I truly believe that if you and I live in this way, that we will shine like stars among the people that we encounter each and every day. And this is what he says. And he writes this towards the end of his life. This was in the last group of letters that was published of his. And he's writing to a friend named Malcolm, and he says, "We, or at least I, shall not be able to adore God on the highest occasion if we have not learned the habit of doing so in the lowest." You see, you and I are happier when we're grateful, particularly when we're grateful for the little things. Will you pray with me? God, I thank you that you are here with us. And that, Lord, you are pouring out blessing upon blessing upon us. So much for us to be grateful for. So much for us to see anew, maybe for the very first time. So, Lord, I pray that our hearts are open to you. No matter how we find ourselves in this room today, we know that it's not an accident. And we know that you are here with us. So may our hearts and our minds be open to all that you're saying to us today. And Lord, we want to say thank you for all that your blessings, for all the ways that we see it, and for all the ways that we will see it as you are at work in our lives. So Lord, may we see that we truly are happier when we are grateful, and may we find our happiness in you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.